Blog Talk Radio.
The Spirit of God is in this place. The Spirit of God is strong in this place. I feel His anointing strong here. If you might be expecting something, just open your spirit to receive. Whether you're watching us through the networks, open your spirit to receive. This song is entitled Holy Spirit. Libra Sunday. Oh, yeah.
Oh. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, I love you.
Holy Spirit.
Said Holy Spirit. The Bible says the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Holy Spirit, we love you. We love you. You are more real than the air we breathe. And we acknowledge you and we praise God for you. And we will embrace your ministry in our life, your presence in our life, your power you release through us. We are grateful that you have comforted us and come to us and been all that we will need. That we don't need anybody else. And it's not that we don't need each other, but he's saying that we in Holy Spirit have all that we need for life, life of holiness and righteousness in Jesus Christ. It is such a joy to understand that it's nothing we have to do, but just rest in the presence of God, seeking that presence of God, seeking that presence of God as our very life, as our very breath, and being in proximity to God, where his glory is revealed to us. And so we are starting almost ending our book of the Sevenfold Spirit of God by Keith Miller. Very, very powerful time of learning and sharing and scripture and truth being revealed. And I don't know, did I just hang up on that? I don't think so. What's up there? So we for the truth that built in this book. And actually, as I was reading this final chapters of this book, it became apparent that as he's using scripture, that in hearing the scripture now, there is a deeper understanding of them, a new understanding of them, a more, not that it's something that wasn't there and is there now, but it's something that has now been revealed to us after we have been subject to the truth and the teaching that have been presented in this book. And so the chapter 17 we're in, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And when I saw that, and we say glory, glory, hallelujah, glory to God, and now this is the hope of glory. And I thought, you know, what does glory mean? What does that word mean? And so I looked it up, and it said the word glory in relation to God has two aspects. The first, which is the Hebrew word, can refer to praise, honor, and at times even abundance and riches. It also refers to the brilliant splendor of God's appearance. So it had two connotations. And the hope of glory, praise, the worship, and at times even the abundance and the riches. And we know that Christ came so that we would have life and have it more abundantly. The riches of Christ that we understand, that's our inheritance. And that's why I say there's some very fundamental primary scriptures that we know and we've said, we've heard them preached and taught, but now they have a more brilliant meaning, I'll put it that way. So the hope of glory, and we say Christ is in you, the hope of glory. And Christ in us, and we're going to look at that, the hope of glory, we're going to see why he's in us. And the fact that him being in us is all a part of God's plan. It's all a part of God giving us the comfort of a hope that is assured. And so he's saying Christ in you is the hope of glory. Now this glory, meaning the abundance, is what you can hope for because the abundance will come to you. And we even said the scripture that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all. And I'm not going to go there right now, but and so we're understanding what that abundance means. What, and that's part of the glory, but more than that, that's part of our hope. Our hope. That is something that we hold on to with a joy of anticipation. Of anticipation. So just in the very title of the chapter, there is a whole lesson right just in that, those 7 words. Okay. But we and that, so that gives the groundwork for what we are about to ingest, read, and digest, and get exposed to, and be exposed to. And so he shares with us, he starts off by sharing with us a vision, an experience that he had. And so often we are in a place of worship, and as we are worshiping and we feel God's presence, I love it when he said, I love this place. Have we come to love that place of worship where we're in the presence of God? You know, love it, to seek it, to linger in it, to bask in it, not be in a hurry to leave it or to move on or to get to the next thing, but to realize that where we are is the goal of our life, the presence of God, loving that place of worship where his presence come upon us and everything changes. And I love it for those moments. He said he loves stepping into the realm of his majestic glory. Now, there's that word again, glory. I don't ever want us to see that word or say that word going forward without receiving the revelation of what it means and why it was given to us, why it is even used as it relates to our God in heaven. Because the second says it refers to this brilliant splendor of God's appearance, his appearance. And it's always, his appearance is always, generally, not always, but it is associated often with just this light, this glory that's more than light, is beyond light. It is a brilliance that is a perfect aura or atmosphere that is around him. It's his majestic glory, stepping into that majestic glory. He says as he enjoyed this place of worship, singing always brings us to our spirit, to a good place. And so he says he opens his eyes, and when he opens his eyes, he is overwhelmed with this shining brilliance. That's this glory. And he realizes that it is the Lord Jesus standing right in front of him. He said immediately he was overwhelmed. That said, I don't need anything else. This place overwhelms every part of my being with satisfaction and joy and peace and hope. And I love it because he says he looked, and in the brilliance, he saw him smile. And I thought, when you just kind of get a visual of seeing Christ smiling at you, he says, which undoes or just eliminates it, breaks it, it undoes all that holds us captive. And it keeps us from knowing his joy. So just that smile towards us, it's like it cuts any bounds, any ties, any hindrance, any distractions, anything from touching us. And we're surrounded, you know, we are surrounded by his love. And so I realize that when he says that he is brilliant, his shining brilliance and his smile, which undoes all that holds us captive and keeps us from knowing his joy. And I thought about that, and I said, that smile, we declare that in, at the end of the worship service when we talk about number 6, 23 through 26, where it says that Moses, that God spoke to Moses and said, tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you bless the people. In other words, God is telling him, he's giving him a weapon. He's giving them a revelation, not a weapon, but it's a revelation. He's giving it to them. He says that God bless you and keep you. God smile on you and gift you. God look you full in the face and make you prosper. That's the message version of that priestly blessing. Now, the Living Bible version says, now the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron your sons that they are to give this special blessing to the people. May the Lord bless and protect you. May the Lord's face radiate with joy because of you. May he be gracious to you and show you his favor and give you his peace. In that blessing is the power of life. It is the power of to overcome whatever circumstances. And God knew that we would need that kind of power, but he wanted us to get this visual, just like this author did, of Christ smiling at you. And I love the Living Bible because it says the Lord's face is smiling because of you, not just smiling on you, but it is smiling because of you. And so God want us to know we make him happy. We make him smile. And with this smile is released this radiant, glorious brilliance, this majestic glory. His smile does that to us. They used to have a commercial about some kind of toothpaste or maybe it was gum or something, and they're walking around and people are just being normal, but all of a sudden this one person smiles, this big Kool-Aid smile, and you see these like sparkles of light and brilliance, and it just takes over the whole environment, and he is noticed. I'll put it that way. So we want to understand that that's what we make God do. And God wanted us to know, tell them, I smile on them. I smile because of them. And in my smile is the power, okay, to make you prosper. And it gives you gifts. Because in the Message Bible, it says God smiles on you and gifts you. Again, bringing us information and revelation that this is what is going to happen in our journey with Christ, with God, that he's going to gift us, and he gifts us Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit gives us gifts so that this power and this radiant brilliance can flow through us as we are basking and seeking and loving the place of the presence of God. And so that scripture just has so much more packed in it that as the Holy Spirit is giving revelation and we're unpacking it, they're more than just words that we say, you know, just like sometimes in other churches when they say it in another language, you know the sound of it, but it's just sounds. It doesn't mean anything. They're just words in Latin or whatever, and you don't know the Latin meaning. But this is like he's going to reveal to us what's the power of the meaning of these words so that when we say them, we will be empowered. We will be, energized by it. You know, we'll be, our passion will burn even brighter because we understand this is the word God has said over us. And this is his promise. This is part of those promises that we walk in and we are in need of. And so it is such a blessing to now be able to hear these scriptures and see them with a new light, a new depth, and how that depth is taking us closer and closer to the place that God would have when he said, come up with us. And so he said he was immediately overwhelmed. You know, it's wonderful when God overwhelms us. It's like giving you so much, and it's so great, and it's so powerful. It is so everything you might possibly need, and then more. And you realize you're just undone. He said, and then the next thing that happened was Jesus stepped into him. So are you seeing movies, you know, where the ghost step into the person or whatever? But just seeing this vision, first he smiles, and then he comes and habitates, set up his dwelling in us. That's just further intensifying our understanding of how much he loves us, he wants us, how much we bring him joy, and he favors us because he wants to be a part of us. He said his mind was spinning with questions, and all he knew that it was incredible. Following this vision, which he didn't immediately understand, he then started receiving the revelation of this book, of this book. So these encounters bring us to a place where our destiny and that's been assigned to us to do will flow from us. Apostle had said in one of the meetings last week that when you preach it, I think it's part of the homework, which is for the life work that you're supposed to do, how do you do it in grace? If you write with grace. You know, if you sing with grace. If you preach with grace, prophesy with grace. Which there is a word that tells us whatever you do it as the oracles of God. And what does that mean? But the fact that do it through God's ability. That's what also grace means. It means the ability of God that's been given to us. He says all things are known through the Holy Spirit because he's going to bring them back to our remembrance. And the fact that he is our guide, he is our helper, he is in within us to seal us. That means to keep us in a place of being perfected and being brought blameless and sinless before the Lord when he returns. And so when we see this this vision, this awakening of the author, and that gives him this beginning of this ministry of revelation for this book, for this book. So he prepares us to do whatever it is he is asking us to do. And he more than prepares us, he gives himself to us as he steps within inside the man's body. And so then the author shares the fact that because Revelation says that, you know, it is the seven spirits of God and the seven stars are belonging to him, that Christ in us is all of these things that we need. We've learned about the seven spirits of God. We've learned about the revelation of the spirit of the Lord resting upon us as it rests upon Christ. And the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the spirit of the reverential fear of the Lord are in us. And we have that revelation of them so that whatever we do, it is done out of the supply of heaven. You know, it says that these gifts are stored up for us. Our inheritance is in heavenly places. And that's inheritance, the thing that we're gonna use here, this thing that belongs to us because we now belong to Christ is available to us. And this is showing us how this flow will bring us to the place with the scripture that we've said over and over and over again, you know, that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. So, and then it goes on to say world without end. So not only is it an unlimited power, okay, but the power has no restrictions. There is no world that it won't work in, if you will. World without end. Without end, because that's how, I don't know, magnificently amazing God is. We don't even understand all the worlds that his hands have created, that his that he has caused into existence and then maintained. But he's telling us that this power will work, and it'll work through us in all these places. So no matter where you go, no matter how, you know, the daunting the task may be, the flow of the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, that power of that flow releases heaven's ability to us, God's ability to us to perform on earth as and to bring it about as it is in heaven. So then the author shares some illustrations of the principle behind the flow, and he uses the analogy of him being an electrician and how the source of the electricity never changes. The source never changes. But the tubing or that which connects the source to the demand changes. It could be a thin wire or it could be a thick wire, depending on how much demand is being put on the source. And so I thought that was a wonderful analogy, because just as something that can light a light bulb, that same source is there to also power a whole house full of electrical appliances, washing machines and dryers and the furnace and the air conditioner and the refrigerator. It does that same source of power, and yet the demand is what dictates, okay, the amount of flow from the source and how that is indicative of us. The source being the Holy Spirit that is totally unlimited, and it is eternal, and it is available to us, whether we need a little bit in a thin wire to light a light bulb so that we can get saved, or we're demanding more from the source of the Holy Spirit because we want to raise the dead and change a nation. The source is still the same. It's how much we pull from it, and we can pull from it based on our understanding of what's at the other end. He shared one that's very natural, the fact that if you go shopping and you have a certain amount of money in the bank, you know how to shop, and you're going to shop with that thought in mind of what you actually have, and you will purchase and you will possess those things that you know you're able to acquire because of what's in the bank. And that's the exact thing that happens to us. If we understood what's in the bank, then we would know the things that we could go about claiming, if you will, the peace and the deliverance and no violence and no guns and the changing of hearts. Those things are within the worlds without end, okay, that we have the exceedingly abundant to ask for and get. Because the scripture says that this ability begins to flow out of God's ability. And so the exceedingly and abundantly, and above all, that we can ask or think becomes manifested on earth because we understand the source and we know how much is in it. I love it when he used the analogy of an ocean, and he says you dip the cup in there and you fill your cup up. You have a full cup. Your cup is full. And yet when you open and look out, you see, and yet there is so much more to be gathered. It reminded me of the widow when she went and was told to get more pots because it's so much that's coming. You need to gather all the pots you can from everybody. Get an empty pot because your ocean is full and you need more than you're going to get. Not so much need. You're going to get more than just a cup of oil. You're going to get enough oil to accomplish everything that you need to accomplish. Every fear that you had, you won't lose your son, you won't lose your property. You know, you will prosper. In other words, you'll go from destitute to rich with an abundance. And that comes through understanding the source and making a demand on it. We must make a demand on God. In our prayers, he said, ask me. He said, ask. And there's one of the prayers that Apostle came across some years ago where the individual is praying, and he says, you know, you're in the hospital, and you're sick, and you're praying to God, somebody go and water the plant. Okay, he demand from me that which you are in need of, that which you desire. Ask it, and receive. He says, if you reach it, the Holy Spirit is going to turn up the flow in us because we're seeking, because we're reading this book, because we want to know, because we know there is more. And we understand, we are looking up and we see this ocean. And we want to live out of the supply of the ocean of God's supply. We want to live out of the ocean of God's ability. And this is the place that when we come to this place, then we've come to a desire to, and he says, he'll give us the desires of our heart. And that's why I say, all of these scriptures now are going to have new life to them for us. They won't just be things we repeat, but they will be things that will draw us up closer to God's intended purpose for us when he released it on the earth. They have a progressive purpose, and we are going to be recipients of that. And he says, and then Paul wrote, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. And that's it, as under the grace of God, under the ability of God. If you minister, do it under God's ability. It says, let him do it as with the ability which God, the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified. So in all things that you're doing under God's ability, it's going to point back to him. It's going to unveil his brilliance to someone because you have ministered or spoken or written or sang through the ability of God. So now God is going to shine. God is going to shine, and he's going to be glorified and through his son, to whom belongs the glory. And again, now that's that honor. That's that brilliance and that perfection, the glory, all of the praise, all of the honor, all of the worship belongs to Christ Jesus, and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. From 1 Peter 4:11. He says, when we begin to understand this supply, as Peter refers to, we will live with perfect confidence that God supplies everything that we need. It enables us to live according to the Holy Spirit. Now, here's a good one. I love this. It says it enables us. So this ability, God's ability, enables us to do something, and the something it enables us to do is to live according here we go to the life of Christ. How many times do people say, yeah, you know, but Christ, that was Christ. He could do that. He's saying now here, no, God is making it clear to us, and you do it too, because of the confidence you have to know that God will supply this, that God supplies his ability to us so that we can do all things. One of the scriptures that we look at, again, these scriptures are going to have a new life to them when it says that he will make all grace abound towards you. All grace, that is all of God's ability, all of heaven's ability, all of the resources that are in Holy Spirit, those seven flow functions of Holy Spirit, all of those truths, all of that ocean of ability, he says, he will make all grace abound towards you. In other words, all this is at your fingertips. It is to you. It is delivered to you through the Holy Spirit, through your presence with God and through the Holy Spirit. It is there. You are there, and you are in the midst of it. He says, all grace abound to you that you may have all sufficiency. Here you go. There is nothing else you will need. Nothing else you'll need. You don't have to depend on anybody else. You don't have to think I can't do it unless this, that, and the other. You will have all sufficiency. And then here we go, in all things, in worlds without end, no matter what it is. It is not a world that God has not created and been in charge of and is under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it says you will have all sufficiency in all things unto every good work. Everything we need for holy living is flowing through the river of the sevenfold function of Holy Spirit in our life. And we have it. We are the recipients of the other end of the resource that is limited, unlimited, and all-powerful, and depending on the demand that we pull on it, and then that will be in us. And I love it because it says that God supplies everything we need to enable us to live. So we want to look at the word live. This lesson just was such a joy. But to live, he had told us earlier, being quickened, that the Holy Spirit quickens us. And that quicken is, I can't find, I made my note here, but that quicken brings us alive. It wakes us up. There's like three things. Oh, here it is. There's three things that that quicken does. It's coming alive to us. It's reviving us. It is bringing us from a dead state. Okay, so it says that it supplies that he will need enable us to live. So in other words, new life comes, and you know, it says in Christ we are new creatures. Well, we're awakened from our dead state of sin or of dependent on certain, not depending, but living within constraints. So that awakening, and what he's sharing here is that God supplies everything we need to enable us to live according to the life of Christ. And that's to live a holy life. That's to live in the holy abundance of Jesus Christ. The power that Jesus had to live holy on earth is given to us through the confidence and trust that we have from the supply, unlimited supply of the Holy Spirit working through us. When we speak or when we are awakened by the Spirit, and then to understand, first he wakes us up. Then he gives us this understanding. That understanding helps us to break out of the box we were in, break out of the limits that we had lived around our life and the lies, break out of the lies, because now we understand it is a lie and there are no constraints. to the state that we're in now, because now we are free. Because now we are not just free, we are free and empowered by the power of the Holy Spirit to receive heaven's ability for us, God's ability to perform whatever it is he would have us to do. It says, by the Spirit to understand what he has already provided, we will begin to live out of this supply. And that is living out of the supply is the wisdom that we get from Holy Spirit to now apply the understanding and the knowledge that's been released to us, that's freed us, that's brought us back into life, restored us into our original state of communion with God. And now we begin to live out this supply. So now we're pulling on it because we understand. We have the wisdom. First we know, and then we understood what it was we needed to know. And now we're going to get the wisdom to act according to this thing. And that's when it says we increase of God in us. This wisdom will increase the influence of God in us, because now we understand how powerful it is. And we know it's powerful. We understand it's on our behalf because he looked at us and he smiles, and we understand that. We understand now that we make him joyous. And now we have the wisdom to understand because of this, we go from impossible to anything is possible, because now he is smiling upon us. His countenance will bring us peace, and it will also cause us to prosper. The increase of God, this wisdom brings it into our life. The increase of God, of the wisdom of God, understanding of God for holy living. And so heaven is abundance then becomes ours. It says, for this reason, we must live in communion with the Holy Spirit. So we don't ever want to get far from the source. And you mean far from. Or rather, let's always be obtaining to get closer to or more deeper in. Deep calleth unto deep. The more you know, the more you know there is to know. And the more you want that. And never being in a place of being satisfied with, or thinking you're at a place of, not that you're not content, you're content, but you are not going to, you know that there is more and you want more. The Holy Spirit longs to awaken in us the revelation of Christ in us, the true hope of glory. When you have this hope of this brilliance, this hope of a resource that's yours, then it changes your countenance. It changes your understanding. It'll change how you walk and how you feel. In this way, we can be partakers of Christ living within us, who has the seventh flow of the Holy Spirit. But we must have an ear to hear what he wants to show us. He said when he saw the vision of Christ in him, the Lord was showing him that we can live in a place of divine supply and see the ever-increasing flow of his supply in our life. As we awaken to what God has already lavishly poured out on us, we will begin to break out from the place of impossible to the place of anything is possible. We realize, I don't belong in that box over there that's hemmed in. I am free. I have no limit through Christ and the power that is released in me through the sevenfold function of the Holy Spirit. And as we come to understand the power that works in us, we discover that we can live out of his divine supply for our life in this wisdom and knowledge, and it'll bring illumination in the knowledge of Christ to other people, because now they will see the word lived out. In this place, we can understand why we have hope in our calling, because it does not flow out of our ability, but it flows out of his supply. So So the author goes on to say, and I love it because I hadn't read this part last week when the Lord showed me what book we were going to go into, which is The Secrets of the Vine. And the author starts, he actually is culminating this whole book in the picture of the scripture of John 15:5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bear much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. So we know without God it is impossible. So with God we can do all that God has assigned to our hands to do. And I love it because he shares this in the vine position as a divine union. It's a coming together of the Spirit and of us. So this divine union, that's that imagery that the author has when Christ stepped into him. And it was a divine union, a coming together as one. Christ often says, me and my Father are one, because they came together in this divine union. And the reason for this divine union, we must understand, is to bear the fruit that will bring glory to God. And that's that word glory. We're doing this for God's glory. Now that glory, meaning all praise and worship and honor, will flow to Jesus Christ. Because he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw the world. So when you lift him up in your praise and your worship, because you honor him, not when you sing it or doing a banner, but when you're allowing the Holy Spirit to flow through you into the earth realm, releasing the brilliance of God through your holy living and living out loud what Christ lived in the pages of our Bible. And we bring it out. We didn't see him doing those things, but we believe he did. And because of that, we have surrendered ourselves and in death with him on the cross so that we could be born again in him in the kind of power that will release him to the world. So they, and he said, all this stuff Christ did, he did because he loved the Father. He did it because he honored the Father. He did it for the Father. Those that you have given me, I have kept. Those that you have given me, I have kept. And that was his desire. And that was his heart. And that was the motivation behind what Christ did. And so as a result, that will become our motivation because, as the chapter before shared, we are in awe of God. The awe of God is our delight. We have come to understand who he is, that fear of the Lord, the worthiness of our God, the fact that we delight as we are exposed to, as we become familiar to, as we engage in those things that the Lord has done to, for, and around us. Okay. So, as he brings us to, I am the vine, and we are the branches, we see our position. We must know our position. And that position, as the author shared when he started the book, is at its peak and at its best and in its full brilliance or glory when we are abiding in the presence of God in worship. And worship is more than just a worship service or a song, but worship is our work. It is our life. It is being in a place where because God is smiling upon us, he is gifting us. And what he is gifting us, just like he told the ones that he gave the talent to, he wants us to use that gifting that he gave. Use your talents. Don't bury it. use it. So that's what I'm saying. All of these things are bringing new life into these scriptures that we have, that have supported and brought us to this place. And now the depth of deeper meaning of them is being revealed to us. He says, when you don't know what you already have, you are limited. But when revelation comes, we become aware of what we already possess. And so he shares with this, revelation is the key to unlocking access to what we don't previously know. But now, by revelation from the Holy Spirit of the Lord, we know and access. Not just know it, but we access it. So I like the way the Amplified Bible shared the progression of what we've done in this book. It says, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things. Things that are fenced in and hidden, which you do not know, you do not distinguish or recognize or have knowledge of and understanding. So in this scripture of Jeremiah 3:3, and in the Amplified, it gives us this progression of what the flow of the Holy Spirit, the sevenfold function of the Holy Spirit does. It calls to us, and he calls to us, and then he gives us these things, mighty things and great things he reveals to us. And it wasn't that they didn't exist, just like the scriptures that we're reading. We've read them before, and they've had power, and they have produced that which God needed them to do. But now he says, as this is like the come up hither scripture, come into my presence more fully, then there are great and mighty things that were hidden to you. They were behind a fence. You know, they were in the place that where I am. You know, they were close to me. They were guarded by me, because that's just like the Garden of Eden. The children, the two were thrown out when they ate the fruit and sin, because that place had so much power, that it had to remain in a state of purity. And as long as man was there, it couldn't do that because he had sinned. But it was so close to God. And this is what he's saying here. I have stuff that's fenced in and hidden, but I'm only going to show it to those that are willing to be purified by my word, sanctified by my word, willing to be transformed by my word, so that you're able to come up hither. It says it's fenced in. You could look at it and you wouldn't see it. You wouldn't recognize it. You did look at it. We've seen it, and we didn't recognize it. And I'll say that more often than not, when we saw it, we condemned it because we didn't understand it, or we didn't think that it was God. Just like what Paul did or Saul did to the believers of Jesus Christ. It was right there, but he couldn't distinguish. He couldn't recognize the fact that Jesus was the Messiah. It had to be revealed to him. He had to have knowledge and an understanding that only came from getting into the presence of Jesus Christ, when Christ stopped him on the road and then opened his eyes. Open his eyes is that awakening. Open his eyes is giving you a knowledge of, and then giving you an understanding, and then giving you a wisdom. Again, the flow, the seventh flow of the Holy Spirit. These things come about when we get into close proximity and into the presence of God, and we desire it. It says, praise the Lord Jesus, that through him all things are possible to those that believe. So we know now why they're possible. They're possible because we believe that as his face shines upon us, he gives us. He gives us with the ability he has to do whatever he needs to do. World without end. Nothing is outside of his ability and his power and his authority, and he gives that to us. And so it says, all things are possible to those who believe. It is no longer we who live, but it is he who lives through us. It says, so I wanted us to, oh boy, but there's three scriptures I encourage you to look at in these versions, Matthew 19 and 26, Matthew 19 and 26, then Romans 7 and 6 in the Passion Version, and that Matthew 19 and 26 is in the Voice. Let me just. And then Zechariah 4:1-6 in the Living Bible. And I know we're near the end, but I just want to read these scriptures because in these versions, because this one part of this lesson, this last really full paragraph, are listing four different scriptures. And these scriptures are so foundational for understanding what this book is about, understanding the power of this book. And I love the source, which is the Word of God, really. I want to read to you in these versions because it really opens it up. It opens. Let me see. This one is in the Passion. I probably should have printed them out. Oh, bad, you bullet. Bad. Okay. It wouldn't take so long. Okay. 1926. Okay. It says, this is the Matthew. When he shared, let me see what the voice says. But he says, Matthew 19 and 26, this is where he's asking a question. The man is questioning Christ. Jesus turned to his disciples and said, listen, do you understand how difficult it is for the rich to enter into heaven? This is what he's talking about. And he goes down and shares with them. He says, stunned and bewildered, the disciples ask, then who in the world can possibly be saved? So now they're looking at this as an impossible thing. Now we know it's only impossible if they try their own ability. But then he says, looking into their eyes, again, direct contact of intimacy, looking into their eyes, Jesus replied, humanly speaking, no one, because no one can save himself. But what seems impossible to you is never impossible to God. So no matter what it is, even our great salvation, which seems impossible, it is possible to God, but only because it's through the ability of heaven. And then as he's sharing in here, it says, praise the Lord, that through him, all things are possible to those who believe. Just as you believe for your salvation, you can also believe for the impossible things around your life now. Those things that seem overwhelming and daunting, you can believe for that God's source will bring it to a place that will honor him. And then it says, it's no longer I who live, but it's he who lives through us. And we know that scripture is Galatians 2 and 20. And I just want to read it out of another version. Galatians 2. I'm sorry, I should have really printed them out so I would have them. And 20. And this one, Galatians in the Passion, let's see what it says. So it's even though there are scriptures that we know them, we've said them, you know, look at them now in different versions and get a Holy Spirit down, they call them download into you now. It says, my old identity has been co-crucified with Christ. Remember, we shared that. Now I'm dead and no longer lives. I don't. And now the essence of my new life is no longer mine. The essence is your very life itself. That's your breath, your essence. For the Anointed One lives his life through me. That was him walking into the author and the vision. We live in unison as one. So remember, what you do, Christ do. What Christ does, you do. So oftentimes, you know, you go, what would Jesus do? You know, or what would he say if he saw you doing that? You know, and those are the things that stir us to repentance and gives us, illuminate what we're doing when we look through the eyes of Christ and not the eyes of the world or the standard of the world or the lack of standard that the world has or the lies that the world says. He said, but my new life is empowered by the faith of the Son who lives in me so much that that loves me so much that he gave himself for me, dispersing his life into mine. And so that the Spirit of the Lord is upon us. This is what this scripture is saying. He put his life in me. So now the Spirit of the Lord that was upon him to set the captives free, to do these miracle signs and wonders, they're in us because he put them there. Not because we were worthy of them or we had done something so great or grand. No, it was his desire. Why? Because when he looks upon us, he smiles, and we make him smile. He joys in us because he loves us. Okay, and then the last one. Okay, Paula. Zechariah 4. Zechariah 4. 1-6. And this is in the Living Version. Like I say, these are scriptures that we know, we're familiar with, but they take on a new light. Okay? And this one says, then the angel who had been talking with me woke me. Remember that awakening, quickening, as though I had been asleep. Even though you don't know you were asleep, you thought you were doing great and grand in the work of the Lord, the angel awoke him up. We are awakened, a quickening to the more. What do you see, he asked. I answered, I see a golden lampstand holding 7 lamps, and at the top there is a reservoir for the olive oil that feeds the lamp. And so he goes on to share this vision about the lampstand. And remember that lampstand is the 7 flow spirit of the whole flow of the Holy Spirit. And he says, this is God's message to us, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. You will succeed because of my spirit, though you are few and weak. So no matter what it may look like up against the world and the things that are going on in the world, though we are few and weak, we will overcome. We will succeed because it will be the sevenfold flow of the Holy Spirit that flows through us and makes a difference in the earth realm. So, now that I've been talking nonstop, insights, questions, comments? Hello. I didn't lose nobody there. No. Amen. Okay.
I was trying to find my mute button. Good morning.
Oh, good morning.
You know, one of the things I think with the silence, for me anyway, for the silence is just actually a profound lesson. It's like you say, the stuff you know, but just hearing it kind of repackaged and in light of all of the other things, for me, it's just kind of the culmination of that whole sevenfold. And with that very last imagery of the candlestick and the Holy Spirit. And it's just interesting, personally, how things weave together, like things I'm hearing in my car, you know, like on Christian radio stations and sermons and stuff like that, as, you know, as we go through the week, and then how it culminates with whatever the lesson is. But, you know, one of the things is the whole idea of limiting that the lack of power is because so many believers only look at the Holy Spirit as a doctrine, the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. This is what happened on the day of Pentecost. The real person, so to speak, and I'm saying that in quotes, you know, the Godhead, God the Father, and the Messiah, but not the Holy Spirit in that way. And, you know, and I can't even think of the brother's name, but anyway, God's doing a sermon series on that whole idea of, you know, the Holy Spirit is a person. Access what you have. You use the analogy of, like, the smart houses. You know, like, if you know how, you know, I'm pushing it out a little bit further, but you think, like, if you lived in a gated community, and that gated community was believers, you know, so that's us, and everybody had a smart house, and he was basically saying, so, but if you don't know that you have a smart house, you will be doing all of those things manually when you could just say, open the door, lock the door, turn the lights off, close the blinds, start the vacuum. You know, and he was saying that's how it is with the Holy Spirit, that so many believers have. Well, you know, that we all, that's that so many, that we all have access to the Holy Spirit. And but we rarely take advantage of that access, or only in a very limited way, knowing it only as the charismatic side. You know, but not day to day, situation to situation, which is what this book, in my opinion, kind of just enumerates, you know, almost ad nauseum, you know, that hey, this is what you've got, you know, the wisdom, the counsel of might, the fear of God, you know, look at those things, and then look at them as a whole, and let it empower us, undergird us in how we just, you know, our perceptions and as well as our behavior.
Amen. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I just love that just this poopy thing went off. The simple, you see my cord? The gray one. No, not that one. Dark gray. Just the simple thing. Even it's not, and I don't want to say that simple, but they're the things that, that, as you say, the daily things, we kind of eliminate him from. And actually, when we do that, we expend so much energy, just like I love that analogy of the smart house, and we expend so much energy that we wore out. And as you say, we didn't really accomplish all we could have, because we were too busy trying to manually do it, and it really doesn't work the way it really could in its efficiency. And so as a result, we get wore out, and we're not even able to help others because we're still trying to do something manually that we, you know, it's not necessary for us to do. So I love that analogy of the smart house, and I could just see, I really can, I'm gonna be honest, transparent. I can see me not wanting to read the instructions, and so as a result, settling for what I do know. I know if I switch this on, it'll come. You see what I'm saying? Instead of, you know, reading the instructions, which is really getting close to the
eating the whole
source.
Scroll.
Yes, thank you. Eating the whole scroll. Right, right. And realize, yes, you know, But I'm just going to do this one thing that I heard somebody say. They had a smart house, and they said flick the switch. So all I'm going to do is flick the switch. But I get so wore out, you know, when I don't have to. So I love that analogy because I can see me. I can see me doing a new thing, you know. And it's like, okay, you spend 2 days trying to make a Word document. Read the instructions, it'll take you 15 minutes. Okay? But I get it. I love that. I get it. Wow. Amen. And you know what? I am not going to wear myself out no more. I'm going to read the instructions. So,
amen. Amen. All of
thank
us.
You.
That,
yeah.
All of us need to heed that.
Yes. Jesus. Yes. Goodness gracious. And then you know what? And just that illustration, that smart house, I can see going to visit somebody who knows how to use their house. Okay. And just sit and go, wow, you could do that? Wow, you could do that? You know, and that's what we do in the spirit realm. You know, you go somewhere and somebody is raising the dead and they're healing the sick, and they're going, wow, you could do that? And he's saying, you got the same house. You could do it too.
Yeah.
Like,
you know,
it,
even as you were saying that, I was thinking it's in your hand. I had the conversation with a relative, and we were talking about phones. And I don't know how to do everything on my phone, but I am inquisitive,
mm-hmm.
and I will try to figure it out. And the person I was talking to
mm-hmm.
is the exact opposite. Like, you know, I can make calls, I don't have any numbers programmed in, whatever has happened has happened from grandchildren. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, and every time manipulation would happen. It would be like, how you doing on your phone? Your phone does that? I'm like, everybody's phone does that. I mean, these were basic things. And it was that
right.
same kind of concept
right.
that it's in your
yes,
hand. You know, but if you don't delve in,
wow.
Then or to the extent
yeah.
that we do, then we're blessed and like
absolutely.
You said, made more efficient, you know, and productive.
Yeah.
Frees up time to do other things, you
yes,
know. But,
yes.
you know, but,
and you
but
know,
if we don't, you know, we still get there. We still in our house, you know.
Yeah, we in there. Yeah. yes, yes. But then it becomes, really, it becomes a burden. Because, and that's what happens even when we don't depend on the Holy Spirit, because it's something that we need to do that we can't. So now we're going to get frustrated by it. And then we're going to get bitter, you know, we're going to get burnout, you know, all of those things that happen in the spirit realm because we're not using everything that's available to us. And then as a result, you know, we don't even, it don't even look like a smart house no more because we have not used the abilities that have been given us. So that analogy is going to go with me forever, honestly. Because I see myself, you know, and I see how anything new, and that's how it is for a lot of people, understandably, you know, but that's what's called the crisis of belief in experiencing God. You get to a place that's not familiar with to you. And then you your body, your mind, and your spirit starts to weigh the difference. Let's see, how important is it for me to do that, okay? And that's the thing. How important is it for me to spend an hour reading the instructions, okay? So if it's not important, I'm not going to do all that. I'm not going to spend, let's say, a day. Well, I'm not going to spend all that kind of time doing that.
Yeah.
I can play
the long game or the short game. You know, how
yep.
you going to play it?
Absolutely. Thank you so much. That's
40 years in the wilderness.
Analogy.
You know.
Okay. There you go. Yes. So we know now they weren't the only ones in the wilderness wandering around. That's what
right.
I've done
40
too.
Days, 40
you know,
years.
40 yeah. years. There you go. Absolutely. Wow. Mm. Yes, yes. Wonderful insight. That's one of the things that stirs up in us. And like you said, it's not that it's new, but it's stirring it up. Well, the scripture said it in the Amplified. It was, we didn't recognize it before. It wasn't distinguishable to us before. because we weren't using the sevenfold function of the Holy Spirit of understanding, of knowledge, of wisdom, of counsel, of might. We were trying to do it on our own ability, our own intelligence, our own experience, okay, our own knowledge, or the knowledge of the world, or the knowledge of the denomination, as you said before. And it's like one of the things I just love the Holy Spirit, because this morning what he was saying is, you know, worship me, I'm a person. You know, just like you shared, you know, he's not a doctrine, he's a person. You know, he is a person of the Godhead. It's almost like, recognize. You know, kids sometimes say, you got to recognize. We got to recognize he's a person. You know, and so his dedication is, because he's dedicated to us, you know, on behalf of the Father. You know, and his sacrifice, you know, Christ came and he went back. You know, I was going to say, Holy Spirit had to come. He got to stay in us, in all of our mess. You know, but that's his minute. That's his function. That's his function, and he loves it. He loves it. When you look at it, he is a person. You know, God came and he did what he was on high. You know, Jesus had to come down and walk, you know, for 33 years. Not that he doesn't exist, because he does. But his ministry, okay, well, now he's got to intercede. Wow, okay. But he do that sitting on the throne talking to his daddy. So, but the Holy Spirit, he's down in the trenches. He's with us. And we know what we have drug him through. Jesus. He's a person.
He's
just repent. Repent, repent. So, praise the Lord. Now we are at the last chapter. And I know a lot of people had a lot of questions about our upcoming book. But it is Secrets of the Vine. And it is, let me look at it. And it is the Secret of the Vine Bible Study. So it's two books. One is the Bible study. One is the book by Bruce Wilkerson, and Breaking Through to Abundance. All right. So we will probably start that come June. I don't know what the first Friday in June is. Ooh, excuse me. But that's what I'm doing. Let's see. So that would be June 4th. That's this week. I'm going to do that week. And then
can
we'll
we get overseer this pastor us?
Yes, ma'am.
Can we get look, can we get credit for reading these books at the ordination?
Secrets of the Vine, you can. And actually, I will check with the Presidium and see if because the sevenfold function of the Holy Spirit definitely needs to be read and was actually mandated to be read through the apostle for AEN. So I will say you can, but remember you have to write a 3-page summary of it. So absolutely, you will get credit when you write to make it. Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Because I put the promise of God right along with the ones we've been reading. I connected them and I realized what God promised me and who I am and what I can do with the Holy Spirit. So they all, everything that we have been given, they just go together and we just gotta just let go, let God do it.
Amen. There you go. Absolutely. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Okay.
I think that's a wonderful S. I'm going to make a note of it. Oh, you know what? Text me. Okay.
Okay.
So I definitely will get approval. And I don't think that'll be a big problem, but it could be. I have checked with our apostle, but I don't see anything wrong with that. Yes. Just make sure, because don't cheat. Now, the fact that you've been through the whole study of it, then that means that your review of it is going to have to be, you know, on a high level. Okay? I'm just telling you. Don't try to regurgitate.
Well, if you give it to me, I already say whatever you give me, it comes from the Holy Spirit. So I know He's going to do it.
Amen. Okay. Well, there you go. All right.
I'm not afraid anymore.
There you go. We walk
even,
in the Holy
even when I,
town. You know. What do you say? Mm-hmm. You have not because you ask not. You ask, you got it. Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. There you go. Wow. Yes. All right. Any more insight?
Overseer.
Yeah.
Good morning. I just had a quick question. It's not the, is it the, in the new book, is it the workbook as well or no?
It is. It's called the Bible study. The book is the Bible study. No. What we're looking
No, I'm talking about for Bruce Wicker. Okay.
Right. Secrets of the Vine Bible Study.
Okay.
And the Bible study is the workbook. When you get it, you'll see, like, oh, okay. Yeah. And so Secret of the Vine, the book, yes, and the Bible study. Because I may have called it
Thank you.
Oh, sure. But when you look at it, you'll see, oh, that's kind of like a workbook. But it's,
yeah, just want to make sure I get the right thing. Thank you.
Yes, right. No problem at all. Absolutely. Okay.
So, Overseer.
Yeah.
So, it's Audible?
It is.
Is it on
Audible? The book is on Audible. The Bible study is not.
Okay.
So what we will do with the Bible study is to ask the questions the week before. So, like, we'll go through, like, that last Friday in May, I will give you the questions from the Bible study. So that when you go and then read the book, you'll have some idea of the kinds of questions they're going to ask. So.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
There are, absolutely. I think we're going to be a little bit more interactive because they have talk points on it. Like, what do you know that is making a significant difference from God? Or who do you know that is making a significant difference to God? Now, I can't make a copy of my book, but I could make a copy and send it. Would that be helpful if you got it in an email?
Yes, because my phone.
Yes.
Is, right.
So if I make a copy, and we're just talking about the Bible study. Because it does have questions you need to answer. Okay.
Okay.
So if I make copies of that and I can send it in an email, then you will have it. I can do that.
Okay. All right.
Well, I have to wait till I get a new book because I done wrote all in mine. And it's really good to have because it's even a review of, you know, the Bible says examine yourself. This is a good way to examine yourself. After we've done this study, and when you go back and you can look at your answers and your responses to different things, and if they have changed or if they should have changed, then you'll know whether or not they did. And then if they have changed, I mean, that's a place for of rejoicing and seeing your process, because sometimes you really don't see the progress that you're making, you know. But when you go back and look at your notes, anybody that journals or does anything like that, you can go back and look and went, wow. Especially when they ask very probing questions. How was that? And that's the best way I can put it.
Okay.
So it really is good to look at. Okay.
Okay, well, thank you so much.
Absolutely, not a problem. Now, I need to make sure I have everybody's email address. So text me your email address. If you have never gotten an email from me, then you need to text excuse me, text me your email address. Okay?
Okay.
But then everybody has my phone number.
I know. Okay.
Okay. Great. Okie dokie. All right. So we will, what am I going to say? Well, something's tomorrow. I can never remember all these things. There's a lot going on. Check your monthly ministry opportunity, because a lot is going on. I know there's something. It's all Zoom. It's on Zoom. And why, for the life of me, it's escaping me. But check it out.
Well, I said, I know it's something financial. I said it's a financial wealth.
Right.
Yes, Pastor Sonia Norwood, Wailing Wealthy Women, I think is maybe 10-3, Apostle Hooks, College of Pastors and Elders, doing First Timothy, is
Amen.
From 10-11:30, maybe 12-1:30. You have to look for the date, but that's one of the things. And there is another third thing that's going on as well. But, you know, I know that's two other things.
Okay. Thank you so much, Elder. Right. Especially you pastors and elders. That's like mandatory thing. So that should be really a blessing. All right, so enjoy the ministry and know the ministry, embrace the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and know that he is a person. And give him his due. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Enjoy your day, you know, the weather. Okay, bye-bye.
Be blessed. Yes, thank you. Be blessed.
You too. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Oh, I mean, it's up. I'm looking at that. I should be hanging up the telephone.